This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? It's Tuesday, July 23rd. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long bringing you until 8 o'clock this evening. We're going to get into our Saints sound bank very shortly. Saints training camp underway in Irvine, California. Just heard from Saints head coach Dennis Allen along with executive vice president and general manager Mickey Loomis. We'll be playing that audio for you this hour. Then in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get some more Saints talk going with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, who's out there in California. Get a little scene setter of what's going on in Irvine and the whole setup for the black and gold as they get ready for the 2024 season. And like I said the other day, we can't wait. The training camp's finally here. Next, we'll be complaining about some actual preseason games. And then once the preseason arrives, we'll be, oh, man, we need some real football. When's the regular season starting? Well, that'll be on the September 8th is week one against the Carolina Panthers in the Caesars Superdome. Absolutely cannot wait for that countdown to begin. Anyway, we're going to get right into our sound bank. I mentioned Dennis Allen and Mickey Loomis spoke. We'll hear from the Saints head coach first off. A lot of questions about Ryan Ramczyk and you know who, Alvin Kamara. Here's what Dennis Allen had to say today.
Obviously, you know, being away from home and away from, you know, our fans in New Orleans, I mean, obviously that's the tough part about, you know, being out here in California for this training camp. But I'd say we're excited about being out here. We're excited about getting an opportunity to get out here in the Southern California weather and practice in this type of environment. I think we got a great setup in terms of, you know, the hotel, the facility here at UCI. So I'm excited about what I think we can accomplish. I think when you get into this type of environment, one of the things that I think it allows you to do, I think it allows you to push the guys harder for longer. There's nothing easy about training camp. And certainly there's a toughness that comes with practicing in the environment that we practice at back home in Metairie. But there's also a challenge that comes along with that. And at some point, you know, sometimes you can reach the point of diminishing marginal returns on that investment in terms of practicing out there, you know, in the heat and humidity. So I'm excited about seeing how our guys respond out here and seeing how they work. And I think we're just ready to get started.
Is there like a timeline, Chase Young, just as far as when we might see him?
Chase Young will participate in some form of practice tomorrow.
Okay.
We have three players, Tano, Nephi, and Juwan Johnson. Those three players will not be practicing tomorrow. Everybody else on the roster will be practicing in some form or fashion. Some may be a little bit more limited based on coming off injuries and things like that, but everybody else is going to be practicing tomorrow.
D.A., what's your expectation with Alvin tomorrow? Are you expecting him to
feel? I expect Alvin to be out. He was out here today. He ran the conditioning test. Every indication that we've gotten is that he's going to be out here practicing tomorrow, and so that's what we expect. We're looking forward to working with him. You know, I think, you know, having him out here and having him practice and having him work, I think that's beneficial for all of us. I mean, obviously with the new system and new offense, I think that's important. And yet I think we all understand there's a business aspect to the game of football. And so, but every indication that we've gotten is that, you know, he'll be out here practicing tomorrow.
By his standards, not the best last two seasons for him, by his standards of his career, this new offense you're putting in, you think it plays to his skill set even better?
Well, look, you know, obviously he was there for the first couple of days of minicamp, and there was a few plays in there where you really saw how, you know, this offense, this scheme can benefit him and in turn benefit us. And so, I'm excited to see what that looks like.
What kind of message do you think it sends, though, when he does show up amid a known contract disagreement? Because I know he doesn't want to be fined, but still some guys do hold out.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think, I don't know what that message is. You know, I mean, I he's here, he's got a job to do. It's football practice. And so, I think that's what he's here to do.
You touched on this a bit, but you talk about business decisions or, you know, the business of it. Y'all expect him to practice, but does that mean he's going to practice fully? Like, is there any part of practice he won't participate in knowing that that's going on?
Not from our standpoint, as we sit here right now. I mean, he's fully healthy. And so, yeah, our anticipation is that he'll practice. So I'm not going to get into any hypotheticals after that. You know what I mean?
I guess I meant, like, sometimes there's situations where players set out team drills for whatever reason.
Yeah, look, it's nothing that's been discussed.
Dennis, meanwhile, I mean, we were talking about this stuff with Marshawn Lattimore until he came at the end of minicamp, and he's back here now too. Is that in a really good place? Like, better than you were hoping at the beginning of the offseason?
Look, I think we're back to business as usual, business as normal. Look, I think that the exciting part in our secondary, and probably in particular at the corner position, is I think there's a lot of depth there, and I think there's a lot of position competition there, and I think all of us are in a battle. When I say all of us, I'm talking about the whole corner position. You know, at the end of the day, we all got to come out here and earn it, you know. And so, but I think he's in a good mindset, I think he's ready to, you know, to prove that, you know, he's still one of the top corners in our league.
Dennis, I know you guys have said you feel good about what you have on the offensive and left and right tackle. But how much are you really looking forward to getting out here with the pads are on and hitting?
This is what it's all about, right? You know, and look, we're still not there yet, right? We got another, you know, four practices before we can even put the pads on. So we're still not quite at that point. But certainly training camp, being able to evaluate guys in pads, playing the game the way it's supposed to be played, is really where the true evaluation comes in. So, I think that we're all excited about that.
Dennis, how would you describe where you are with the offensive line right now? It seems like you got at least a couple of jobs up for grabs, right?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, obviously we've got a couple of incumbent guys in Eric McCoy and Cesar Ruiz, and then I think after that, you know, there's a lot of jobs that are up for grabs. And look, here's the great thing. You go out here and you practice, and you come out and you compete day in and day out, and eventually the cream rises to the top. But I don't think we're at that position right now where we can say these are the five that are going to go out there on day one. But I think that'll sort itself out over the next course of the next month and a half.
Dennis, when did you all have a really solid grasp that you weren't going to have Brian Ramczyk this season? And do you feel comfortable where you're at knowing that he's not going to be part of it?
I would say whenever you lose a player of the caliber of Ryan Ramczyk, that is a little bit of an unsettling feeling. I think that hurts, not having a player of his caliber. I do think that we have some guys that I think are capable of stepping in and filling in that position, and some young guys that I think can step up and potentially fill that spot. So I'm excited about some of the youth that we have on the offensive line. I would say probably sometime through the course of middle of the off season, you know, I think we began to realize that it's not responding the way that we wanted it to, and yet there was nobody that was willing to kind of make any concrete statements as to whether or not he was going to be ready to play or not. I think we just wanted to give it time to see what happened. And so, you know, it was probably a week or two ago that I think we realized it's just not going to be ready.
And wasn't Evan too just kind of get it out of the way early, knowing that he's not going to be here, and just settle it early rather than drag it out to the beginning of the season?
I think we got to a point where it was pretty obvious, you know, in terms of his mindset being able to play. And I think once the player comes to the realization that I don't think I'm going to be ready, you know, then I think it just made sense for us to go ahead and make the move then. And then it opened up some roster spots so we can have a little bit more flexibility and some things that we could do in other areas.
Yeah, it's just to clarify, I mean, I think you knew around the time of owners' meetings that at that time it hadn't been responding early. So he had a surgery in, like, January-ish,
The initial response after the surgery, we felt pretty good about that. Because I think I talked to you guys at the combine, you know, and I was feeling pretty good about that. And then, you know, probably a couple weeks after that, you know, it just didn't take the turn that we were hoping that it would. And then I think from that point on, it was just like, let's give it time. Let's see what happens. And, you know, it just didn't respond in the way that he or we would want it to.
Is there anything you guys are looking at that might be able to help get you guys off, like, the fast start? You finished really well the last couple of years. Is there anything you guys will do this time of year maybe a little bit differently than other years?
Well, look, you know, this may or may not be a factor, you know, just getting out of some of the heat and things of that nature. And, look, we've won our opener the last two games. Last year we got off to a 2-0 start and you know, had a real opportunity in the third game. And so I don't know that it's necessarily the fast start. I think the middle of the season is where we got to do a better job. You know, when you get into the meat and potatoes of your schedule, you know, we got to do a better job in there, playing more consistent and winning more consistently throughout the course of the middle of the season.
Which means it's more like a war of attrition or mental fatigue kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's a consistency thing, and I think we've got to improve in that area in a lot of different ways. I mean, I think that's coaching, I think that's playing, I think that's everything.
So Chris Olave was not relatively minor then?
Yeah, he'll be out here tomorrow. I think we'll probably limit him a little bit to start, you know, and then go from there.
Was that the shoulder from the weight room or something else?
Back.
Yeah, just bringing in a new offense kind of shake things up sometimes. It's just because the training camp get a little monotonous at times with new offense.
Yeah, look, I definitely you do the same thing for 17 straight years or whatever it had been, you know. I think sometimes you just need a change, and I do think change, not change just for change's sake, but change to kind of shake things up, reinvigorate the offense just a little bit. I thought that was something that was necessary, and look, I saw some positive signs throughout the spring. And hopefully those things will continue, you know, throughout training camp.
To what extent does this change also respond to league trends as well as, you know, difference in personnel now than maybe you had 5 years ago?
I would say from a defensive coach's perspective, I went out this offseason and looked at some schemes that I feel like, you know, are troublesome schemes, challenging. Right, and if they're executed at a high level with good players, they become even more challenging. And so I think that was part of the, you know, part of the discussion. And this, you know, I mean, this goes back years and years. I mean, it's not like this is a totally new scheme, but each year you kind of put a few new wrinkles into it and becomes a little bit more innovative. But this game is still about having good ball plays with good players with good execution, and now you have a chance to have exceptional results. And so that's really, I don't care what scheme you're running, if you're not executing it at a high level, then it's not going to make a whole lot of difference.
As you kind of talked about this before, but like in your experience, having a whole team just kind of all together out in a place for a while, whether it was Fort Worth or, you know, the Greenbrier, whatever. What does that do for like the camaraderie?
Yeah, look, I mean, I like it. You know, I like, you know, when you get, you know, a group of guys with one common goal and one common vision, and we all come to, you know, a spot and you kind of eliminate a lot of distractions that kind of come with being at home, unintentional distractions, and yet there's things that take you away from the focus of getting better as an individual from a football standpoint and collectively as a group from a football standpoint. So yeah, I like it. I'm excited about, you know, spending the, you know, a little less than a month out here and seeing if we can't build a foundation for you know, outstanding football team.
Hey Dennis, with such a veteran group, specifically on the defense, like, one of the things maybe some media talk about is whether guys get older or fall off. Like, what are some things you look at to judge whether a player is either still at the peak of his career or like falling off, or and then what gives you confidence that that's not going to happen this year?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you're obviously always evaluating those things in terms of, you know, player production. Yeah, I think you're. I don't think you're always looking at the stats, because I don't think the stats always tell the true story. I think you're looking at what you see on tape, and then you're trying to take into account any other variables that might come along with that, whether it be injury or anything like that. So, look, we've got a couple of older veteran players that I still think have good football left in them. But the reality is that this is the time that, you know, you have to show it, you know, and so we got to see it at some point out here during the course of training camp, preseason, those types of things.
Obviously,
we have time for one or two more.
Closing practices in advance, a big difference from previous training camps at home. As a coach, like, do you like the aspect of it not being open, or were you hoping that fans would be able to attend?
Yeah, look, I mean, I always enjoy having the fans at practice. Again, that's another change up that I think invigorates, you know, our players. But that's one of the unique things about being out here in Southern California. And I think the league came out and said something about having to close these practices when you're in the, you know, another market too. So that plays a factor in it.
That's the Saints opening day press conference of training camp in Irvine, California. You heard head coach Dennis Allen there. Some of the big points were obviously Alvin Kamara. He says will practice tomorrow. Anxious to see what in fact he does, if it's a full load that he takes on, or is it kind of just going through the motions in position group and kind of sits out team drills. Although I did mention earlier too that they're not going to be in full pads quite yet, so we'll see what happens too when things ramp up and they're finally in full pads. But Dennis Allen also mentioning that Chase Young, the defensive end they signed in free agency, will take part tomorrow. Very good news for obviously everyone involved coming back from that neck surgery. And I don't know, Charlie, I just think that Young is going to be one of those key pieces to unlocking this pass rush that was so abysmal a year ago.
Absolutely, and then also talking about the offensive line play and how he kind of echoed what John Stinchcomb told us last hour, and Stinch obviously hadn't heard this audio, but he was right that, you know, multiple spots are going to be up for competition. Like, you can have a penciled in, we want the young guys to work out, but if these veterans are outperforming the young guys in camp,
you go with your best five.
Go with
right?
your best five, exactly. So it's going to be fun to watch and keep an eye on, and just keep track of who's going to be winning the left guard position, right tackle, left tackle. We'll see how it all kind of shapes up.
After Dennis Allen, Mickey Loomis was up at the mic. We'll hear from him when we get back right here on WWL Saints Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network,
T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
We just heard from Saints head coach Dennis Allen. Now it's time to get a load from executive vice president and general manager Mickey Loomis, as Saints training camp is officially underway in Irvine, California. First practice is tomorrow. Right now, players went through their conditioning test today as they get ready for the first practice. And here's what Loomis had to say as the team gets ready to let it all hang out on the practice field in Irvine.
How would you describe where things are with Alvin right now?
Yeah, look, he's here. I haven't had a conversation with him today, but he's here. I appreciate that he's here. And look, I think one thing that we have to understand is that I'm going to be conservative here. I'd say 50% of our organization, players, coaches, administrators, scouts, feel like they're underpaid, right? And believe they deserve and want more money. And you know, how each of us respond to that and act accordingly. You know, listen, it's just, that's a personal issue. And so I appreciate that he's here. I think, you know, those are questions that you have to ask him how he's feeling. But I appreciate that he's here and he's in great shape like he always is. And looking, you know, for a good season. But more importantly, I think for him is, you know, he wants to win. So just like the rest of us.
You had some doubts that he might not be here?
Yeah, I don't know that I'd put any expectation on it. Just, you know, see what happens.
Is it fair to say his situation is a little more nuanced than more money? Isn't it more?
I don't know. You have to ask him those questions about nuance.
But Mickey, he essentially had 1 year left on his deal. I know next year some things kick in, mm-hmm. but were you guys content to just play it out? He's the one who was.
Yeah, I don't want to get into those kind of conversations and. It's nothing new. It's nothing about him. It's just, you guys know how I am about negotiations. I don't like doing that publicly. I don't like, you know, I'm not one that wants to put things out or try to influence any negotiation through the media. I think if I have something to say, I say it directly to, you know, the agents and the players.
We've also talked a lot this offseason about how you have to reset the salary cap a little bit in this team. Has that affected some of the contract decisions with veteran players on this team, deciding whether to extend?
I mean, look, where we're at on the salary cap every year influences, you know, how and what we're able to do. I don't think that's much different than it's been in the past. You know, obviously there's some volatility in the market for different positions, and you know, we have to pay attention to that.
How
Have there been any contract talks with Alvin's representation since Minikin?
Yeah, I'd rather not get into that. So,
Mickey, you talked about the culture at the end of the season. Just this time of year, and I guess maybe all throughout the offseason, what are some of the things you guys are like implementing or looking at or maybe focusing on more to get that to where exactly you want it to be?
Yeah, I think mainly it's been a discussion, and it's been a discussion coached in terms of the coaches, in terms of the players, in terms of our organization and how we are approaching it, how we, you know, what our expectations are, and making sure that we're communicating those expectations to all parties correctly and emphatically. And so, you know, I think one of the things is we've got a lot of younger players. You know, I feel like, I don't know if the data supports it, but I feel like, you know, we've got a lot of young players in our core group, and so making sure that we're putting them in the best position to not just be successful as players, but in terms of growing as leaders and setting the culture, because the culture and the leadership best comes from the players. And so we just want to make sure that we're giving them every opportunity to be their best, you know, version of that for themselves.
Eric McCoy said, like, you guys had talked to him about, you know, maybe being more vocal and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is that part of it, just going around and kind of tapping into different guys?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a combination of ability, want to, and status in terms of where you're at in your career on the team. And so, you know, Eric's a good example of someone that's got all the qualities that you're looking for in a team leader. We just want to make sure that we're giving him the opportunity to be that. And there are other guys as well.
What can you explain about the league rule? I mean, did you spend the last couple months trying to figure out what you're allowed to do with opening practices to fans, and you got a final answer recently or something? Like,
I don't think so. Look, I think for us here, you know, we're away from our home market. We're not expecting, we weren't expecting a lot of fans. The venue, you know, all the logistics that are involved, because it's significantly more less involved when you open it up to the public as to when you don't. So all those factors came into play. I didn't really, you know, do much inquiry about what we were allowed to do with fans or not allowed to do, because pretty quickly we determined that, hey, it's going to be a limited amount of people at practice.
Nick, would you say it's your intention at this point to be here for 1 year and be back in Metairie next year? Is that the plan as it stands right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're here because of the variables that existed, you know, with the remodel of the facility. And look, there's some other factors. You know, the heat last year, I felt like that was the first year that, man, it just really impacted what we were able to do. In terms of training camp, you know, this year, I who knows what the heat's going to be over the next, 30 days. It's going to be hot, we know that. But there's also been a lot more, you know, rainfall. And so that, along with the limited space we have in the indoor facility, because the remodel has taken away some of our space inside there, it just makes it a lot more, it just affirms the decision to come out here and have training camp away. In terms of the future, our intention is to be back in Metairie, so.
In terms of like the logistics you're talking about opening fans, does that come down to like a cost issue of how much it would cost for security versus?
It's a variable. I wouldn't say that's the main decision point, but it's certainly part of the equation.
Did you also experience it at Greenboro, like playing with that at all? Because from what I recall, those were open, but
yeah, they were open.
That many fans there. So did y'all take like experience with
that?
I too long ago?
No, because no, we I didn't really consider. I thought we had a good turnout at the Greenbrier a number of times, especially initially. Initially we had a good turnout, and that's always the way it happens at training camp. Is that first week or so, you get a heavy turnout, and then it dwindles. That happens in New Orleans as well. And then when you practice against somebody, obviously, that draws a big crowd, regardless of where you're at. So, the answer to your question is, I didn't really think about the Greenbrier in that experience. It was more about you know, here, the short time to get all these logistics worked out for ourselves. And
Dennis Allen mentioned, like, making it clear every once in a while that everything's not going to be the same as it's been. I know when you hired him at first, you liked the idea of continuity. Mm-hmm. You didn't need a culture change at that time. Was there some desire to, like, mix things up more than you did when you initially?
I think that, look, you go through, you know, a few seasons where you don't make the playoffs, and there's nothing wrong with being uncomfortable. We should be uncomfortable with that, and so that's part of it. But yes, the answer is, if you're not as successful and you don't meet your expectations, and you know, we want to do something a little different.
Nick, you're looking forward to seeing how the O-line plays out once you can put the pads on and
yeah,
get physical a little bit.
Are you
concerned about what you have there, the youth that you have there somewhere?
Yeah, I think you're always concerned when you have when you don't have the proven commodity. You know, we had a lot of years where the offensive line, we just knew going into the season we're going to be, you know, one of the top groups in the NFL. That was pretty comfortable. And, you know, with Teron a couple years ago leaving and now Ryan unable to play, that's not as comfortable. So, yeah, I'm anxious to see how this group – I'm excited about the group. I think that, you know, I feel good about where we're at, and yet it's unproven.
I know you don't really want to have to watch the wires to see what players pop up out there, but do you feel like with this group, because there is so much unknown into the pads going to see what they could do then, that you may have to watch what's available out there even more?
Well, I think we always do that anyway. I would say this, though. I do feel pretty comfortable with, you know, the guys that you would say today are you know, the backups. You know, I think we've got some veterans that have played a lot of football in our league, and we've got some guys that we've had here that have progressed and we feel good about. So I'm less concerned about, obviously, if somebody comes available that we don't expect it can improve us, we're going to, you know, we're going to do that. But it's not like a target at this point.
Maybe now that you've had several months to work with him on staff, but what's kind of been your impression of Clint Kubiak and the way he kind of runs the shop?
Yeah, he's very impressive. He's you know, super smart, innovative. I think he has a real confident demeanor about him. He's quiet, but he has a confident demeanor. Knows what he's trying to get accomplished, and yet I think he's also there's an open-mindedness to him that if something, you know, if he has a round hole in a square peg, he's going to figure out a way to make that work. And so I've been impressed. I've been impressed with the number of the new guys that we have.
The quiet demeanor really comes across to us too.
Yeah.
You know, I've been like, kind of say the confidence, maybe like the players kind of see that. You don't really necessarily need like a coach who's super like, I guess, last week charismatic, you know?
Well, I get what you're asking. I think sometimes when you're quiet, you know, people question whether you have that burning competitiveness, whether you are confident. But I think if you're around Clint for any period of time at all, you see both that competitive fire and you see the confidence. And so I appreciate that.
Did that kind of stand out in his interview, or is that something you just noticed being around him now the last couple of months?
Yeah, I think that's something you may think out of an interview, but I think it's something that you get over time. You know, if you're quiet, and look, I consider myself in that category. You know, it's hard to get to know somebody in an interview that's relatively quiet and not gregarious, right? It takes a little time to, you know, appreciate some of the qualities that you may not see right off the bat.
Nick, I'm going to include all the obvious qualifiers. You don't care what analysts outside the building think. You do care what fans think. But this team is pretty widely dismissed a lot. There was a publication today that had you ranked as the 31st brightest future in the NFL. What do you think people are missing about why they should be optimistic about the direction?
I don't care.
Well, what do you like about the direction?
Here's the deal. I don't care about what these other media people, because most of them are unqualified.
Sure.
They already have the right to their opinion, but they're not qualified to be critical, or at, you know, or I don't ask them for advice, so why would I pay attention to a critique from them? So,
well, how about just from a fan base perspective, if they're getting apathetic after 3 years missing the playoffs, what's the most energizing factor about this team?
Yeah, right, look, I think that we have a chip on our shoulder, and that's energizing, and I think we have talent. I think we have a lot of young players that. I think we have a combination of young players that are trying to make their mark and prove themselves. And I think we have a group of older players, veteran players, that are unsatisfied with the results the last few years. So I think that's a good combination.
For the veterans, is that kind of gives you confidence that they won't decline physically, or that they're still in a good shape to...
Yeah, well, I think, look, that's part of what the process is for training camp, right? To see where... you know, see where your veteran players are. It's like, you know, Sean would say, and a lot of coaches have said, look, I don't need to see it every day, but I do need to see it. And so that's part of where we're at in terms of the veterans.
Saints executive VP and general manager Mickey Loomis talking there. As the Saints get ready to open training camp, they've reported, had their, you know, workouts, the physical tests, and I saw Tyrann Mathieu saying his 12th season and 12th conditioning test that he's passed. Absolutely a physical specimen there, so no surprise. But some of the points with Mickey Loomis, really mum on the talks of Alvin Kamara contract negotiations. And I thought, at least from a fan's perspective, they've got to be happy to hear that it's every intention that this team is back in Metairie next year for training camp. We know that they're going through some renovations at the facility currently, forced them out west. Of course, they're not going to complain about that weather out in Irvine, California either.
Yeah, and that they intend to be back in New Orleans or in Metairie practicing for fans. So, you know, that's their intention as of now. But a lot of good stuff from Mickey Loomis there as well, talking about Alvin. And he's kind of tight-lipped about the situation, as we kind of talked off-air about.
All business.
Yeah. We'll see what gets done there, Steve.
We're going to take a break, be back with more as we close out this hour of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into Sports Talk. I want to remind you, WWL and Dudley DeBosier Injury Lawyers want you to throw your fours up with the black and gold every time they're home in the dome. You could win the Saints Season 4 Pack. That's four tickets to every regular season home game. Just listen for the keyword every weekday. That's 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. And once you have all four keywords, enter to win the day's four-word phrase online at WWL.com/contest, and you're in it to win it. Throw your fours up with the Saints Season 4 Pack from Dudley DeBosier Injury Lawyers and WWL. Coming back to close out this hour right after this on WWL Sports Talk. Closing up shop here on the 6 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. We're going to talk plenty of more Saints football in the 7 o'clock hour. Wanted to get on to Skeens Watch right now. The Pittsburgh Pirates in St. Louis taking on the Cardinals, and right now St. Louis up 1-0 over Pittsburgh. Skeens has tossed 5 innings, given up 2 hits, 1 run, 1 earned run, struck out 6, and that 1 run he's given up, Charlie, a home run. But his ERA still went down. It's now at 1.89.
Yeah, and it's Nolan Arenado that hit the home run. One of, you know, I mean, I know he's getting up there in age, but Nolan Arenado is proven one of the better hitters out there. But the issue here, as you mentioned, no run support.
Yeah.
The Pirates are going against old Lance Lynn. And Lance Lynn's tearing him up. He's got a 4.2 ERA entering this game, but it was obviously higher than that because he's gone 4 2/3 innings scoreless against the Pittsburgh Pirates. However, they do have a little bit of a scoring threat here now, Steve, with the bases loaded and 2 outs. So we'll see if Skeens can get a little bit of run support here because, you know, I mean, 5 runs or 5 innings of 1-run ball is always solid. You take that any day of the week, especially from your ace. But no run support to help him out. He might ruin his record, his spotless record so far.
Right, 6-0, right?
Yeah. So if the Pirates can't score here, they might be in danger.
We'll be keeping an eye on Skeens Watch, give you an update and next hour when we get rolling. But also, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, will join us from Irvine, California, do a little scene setter on how things are out west right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into Sports Talk. I want to remind you, WWL and Dudley DeBosier Injury Lawyers want you to throw your fours up with the black and gold every time they're home in the dome. You could win the Saints Season 4 Pack. That's four tickets to every regular season home game. Just listen for the keyword every weekday. That's 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. And once you have all four keywords, enter to win the day's four-word phrase online at WWL.com/contest, and you're in it to win it. Throw your fours up with the Saints Season 4-Pack from Dudley DeBosier Injury Lawyers and WWL. Coming back to close out this hour right after this on WWL Sports Talk. Closing up shop here on the 6 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. We're going to talk plenty of more Saints football in the 7 o'clock hour. Wanted to get onto Skeens watch right now. The Pittsburgh Pirates in St. Louis taking on the Cardinals, and right now St. Louis up 1-0 over Pittsburgh. Skeens has tossed 5 innings, given up 2 hits, 1 run, 1 earned run, struck out 6, and that 1 run he's given up, Charlie, a home run, but his ERA still went down. It's now at 1.89.
Yeah, and it's Nolan Arenado that hit the home run. One of, you know, I mean, I know he's getting up there in age, but Nolan Arenado is proven one of the better hitters out there. But the issue here, as you mentioned, no run support.
Yeah.
The Pirates are going against old Lance Lynn. And Lance Lynn's tearing him up. He's got a 4.2 ERA entering this game, but it was obviously higher than that because he's gone 4 2/3 innings scoreless against the Pittsburgh Pirates. However, they do have a little bit of a scoring threat here now, Steve, with the bases loaded and 2 outs. So we'll see if Skeens can get a little bit of run support here because, you know, I mean, 5 runs or 5 innings of 1-run ball is always solid. You take that any day of the week, especially from your ace, but no run support to help him out. He might ruin his record, his spotless record so far.
Right, 6-0, right?
Yeah. So if the Pirates can't score here, they might be in danger.
We'll be keeping an eye on Skeens watch, give you an update and next hour when we get rolling. But also, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, will join us from Irvine, California, do a little scene setter on how things are out west right after this on WWL Saints Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.